Okay, now this is a, you said.
Ochabod doesn't exist anymore because they lost their, grant. Pepsi-Cola had helping, been helping them. This woman, Mrs. West, who owned the island. It was originally her father's hunting lodge that we stayed at, an enormous hunting lodge. And she ran it. Is that bothering you?
No, because you're looking
there. And then she needed help on it because financially she couldn't continue with it without, and she got some grants, but eventually she had problems getting any further money. She also had a project there for young people where they learned how to raise chickens and animals, and they farmed and they didn't have any indoor plumbing. They had outhouses, they built these themselves, and it was an incredible little place. And we would visit back and forth with them. Their part of the project was was farming. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fantastic project for both the people, like older people like me, and they were young and old, but creative people, and the people that liked the farming and so forth. They milked the cows, and I mean, it was just an incredible experience. They lived in little A-frame houses. Lived in a regular house, uh-huh. And we had, you know, as I say, it was a lodge.
What year was it that you were there?
It was before my Artist of the Year show. Let's see, I think it was Artist of the Year 81. It must have been 1980.
In the summer, spring?
It was in the fall. Let's see, Mother died in May, right after Mother's Day. Or 4 or 5 days after Mother's Day in 80, because I just went to the cemetery, that's why I remember. May something, 1980. This was in October. Oh yeah, because I was there over Halloween.
How long did you stay?
I was there for, I guess, 4 or 5 weeks, I forgot. 4 weeks.
Did you feel that you were creative in a different way?
Oh, I was. It was just a great experience because I was able to paint. I worked in some of the woods that they had there until I cut my finger correctly off, and then decided to stop. The knife slipped. I was really creating sculptures there for my shop. That was my basic idea. I knew I was Artist of the Year. Going to be Artist of the Year, and I wanted to do some, you know, just to be able to create something new or whatever. And so I did a lot of drawings for stuff like that, but mainly I got much more inspired by nature than I did by my own work. So I continued to do some drawings there for the sculptures. And as I say, I found some very interesting hunks of wood there. But after cutting my finger, I decided that I didn't feel like making any further trips to repair myself. And it was 20 miles back to get yourself to a hospital, so we did our own patching me up, and that was the end of me and the knives. But anyway, I found that I was in this studio working with a... all by myself, and I took a lot of slides of things that I had done, like when I was on out in California on that going from San Francisco to LA, you know, that gorgeous drive near Carmel and all that area. And I had done a lot of photography while I was there, and I sort of took that as a jumping off point, but a lot of the trees remember, it's very tropical. It's sort of tropical there. It's just like Hilton Head, much more native. And we take walks every day, and we had to follow. You know, there were no roads, so you had to walk right on the road because there were lots of snakes and lots of birds, and but the snakes were my worry mostly. And then they would take us once or twice a week. We would go to swim at a beach that didn't have another soul on it but us, and had all these fantastic pieces of wood that were driftwood that were, you know, were like the sizes of trees out there. And so everybody just sort of wandered off, and you'd sketch or you'd do whatever you could. And unfortunately, a lot of those sketches were destroyed in the fire because I had them downstairs in the garage in a big oak file cabinet that I had. It was a lawyer's file cabinet. And I had them, you know, drawings laid out flat, so I lost those. But fortunately, I didn't lose my photographs that I did. So I haven't done too much with them yet, but I will someday, I hope. I live long enough. And that's about the major thing was the influence of the nature. I did a tremendous number of paintings there, all of which never even got shown because they got purchased before I got a chance to do that and to show them. And I didn't show them in my Artist of the Year show because I was afraid that, you know, the space at the center isn't that vast, and I was afraid they would become too big a departure because they were so much more, you know, abstract nature. There's one I did right there, and there's one I did over there. Those are the two I didn't sell. And that one, that purple one over there. So I just decided to not show them, that I would have another show. In the meantime, then we had the fire, so I got to show them. They were purchased in the meantime, thank God, or they would have been burned up with the fire. So, you know, my original life was to, also was figure drawing and things like that I did way back with Sam, and so I would kind of return to stuff like that up there too. I, you know, do a drawing and put people in it once in a while, but mostly nudes. I am, you know, much more interested in drawings of nudes because of the forms and the movement and the bond, you know, that you can get out of it. But that's about the major thing that I think why I like trees a lot, nature combined with my painting. But somehow or another, the sculpture, I think in terms like this, where it's, I started doing those the clear ones with the holes in them, mm-hmm. drilling the holes and drawing with the pantograph, and then having, I had a man here in town who has pantograph machine do I would give him my drawing and then they would pantograph it into the plexiglass. Oh. And so I did a lot of those that were, I thought were more, they were either more Art Deco or more nature oriented too. So they did become, you know, a little freer. I think they became a lot freer than they were. Incidentally, somebody just walked into a concept gallery the other day and stole a sculpture that's about from there up to the top.
I saw it in the window.
Well,
saw it last week.
Well, it's no longer there. They didn't see anybody walk in, and somebody went and came in, and they saw this black guy walking out with a raincoat over his hand, and he must have held it by the frame and wrapped the raincoat around his hand and just walked out at 10 o'clock in the morning. And Caroline walked in and said, did you see all our nail sculpture? And she'd seen this guy just walking out a few minutes, and they ran and the police came and everything, but they could never find them. So if you ever see anybody that has something that looks like mine,
I saw it last week, right in the window.
That's where it was, that one. If you ever see it again, let me know.
Well, the robber has good taste.
Well, either that or he's going to try and sell it. Even had the price tag on it. crazy. And they stole Henry Kerner's a couple of months ago, or I don't know when.
From the gallery?
Yeah. And we both won the top prizes at that thing. That's why I wonder if he went down to the south side and saw them both and decided to steal them.
We have an artist with good taste.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway.
What time is it now?
It's about 1:45.
Shall we finish?
Well, we'll go to 2:00, and then that'll give us enough time to get dressed.
What are you doing right this moment? What are you devoting most of your time to?
Well, a lot of photography and to some of these sculptures. During the couple of years after the fire, I was devoting my time to being the decorator. I designed this rug.
Oh.
I designed it and did all that kind of stuff. But other than that, I like to do sculpture. That man you saw that was there, he does all the motors and he bends the metal and does all that stuff. He's a retired steel worker. He was a steel worker, but he was like kind of a very ingenious type of guy. And Henry does figure out how to put something inside of something or whatever. And he always screams at me and tells me it's impossible, and then we try it. But unfortunately for both of us, I'm getting older and he's getting older, and he likes to play. He's close to 75, and would you believe it?
Yeah.
And or is 75, and he likes to dance, and he likes to do all these things. And he has his wife died, and he has all these girlfriends. He used to have all these girlfriends. And now he takes care of this one girlfriend who we think has Alzheimer's. So in the meantime, poor Henry, he doesn't have as much time, and we're both running out of time. Time, you know. It's infuriating. So, and I have a hard time making him want to work. So, but anyway, I have now found another guy who is trying to help me repair all the things. I still haven't repaired some of the things that were destroyed in the fire, like I would be able to save parts of. So I'm sort of in a salvage program. That's one of the salvage things that that was my mother's Dante that had come from the 1904 St. Louis
exhibition.
World. My grandmother brought it from there. As a matter of fact, she brought one that was about this big, and it was, I won't talk about it because I get mad at her when I think about it. Because what happened was we had to keep it in the warehouse for the insurance company because they had broken a piece of it when they put everything in storage. And this, fortunately, had not become smoke damaged. That was black, believe it or not. And my grandmother brought all these beautiful pieces in this. It was a lady's head like this. And one day we brought it back after they finally settled up everything. It was too heavy to put anywhere but over in the corner of the garage. And one day Earth didn't read my big sign and big letters that said, "This is not garbage, this is a sculpture." He dragged it out to the street for the rubbish man. And that was the end of that. So I have some very good luck. I mean, there was no way. I was supposed to take it to the marble man. I was waiting for the marble man to come back from his vacation. And anyway, we didn't speak for about 4 weeks. So that's the last surviving piece, Mr. Dante.
How much damage was actually... Tell us about the fire. Explain what happened and how much damage was done.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, the
And the date. It was what, 2 years ago?
No, it's three. Or what year was the fire?
84.
He's the date man. January. That's right, January 29th. That I remember. I like to forget it. He was sick in bed, and I had just given him breakfast upstairs, and I said to him, our kitchen then was, as it is now, was right over the garage. And when Tessa built this house for the Levinsons, he somehow or another didn't insulate it very well. And at that point, there was no insulation between the garage and the kitchen, apparently. And we hadn't torn it all apart to find this out, but it was always cold in there. And so we had a heater in the garage, and I said to her, go down and turn the heater up, because you know, it was very cold. And so he went down, he turned up the heater a little bit so that we'd get the kitchen warmer while we were having breakfast and so forth. And afterwards I went, cleaned up, he went back to bed, and I went and took a bath and came out of my bathrobe. When the phone rang, I heard it ringing, and I ran into my office, which is that middle room there, and answered the phone, and I was sitting there, I thought, yeah, I smell something funny. It smells like somebody's been smoking in here. And this, so I knew my secretary had been, she told me she quit smoking, and I knew she was lying. And I said, now that's what it is. And I pulled out this thing, there was an ashtray, full of dirty cigarettes. I thought, oh, that's what it is. And this person that I was talking to kept on talking, and all of a sudden I said, you know, I'm going to hang up. I don't like something. And I hung up the phone, and I walked over here, and I see white clouds coming up here. And I thought, I'm not washing clothes. You know how in the wintertime, yes, you always get, it would always come up from the basement there, and I'd have billowing little clouds of smoke. And I thought, what the hell? So I screamed at Irv. I said, Irv, there's something wrong. We've got smoke. And he jumped up, and I immediately thought the microwave had taken. I always think microwaves are going to be my problem in life. I don't know why. I still was like my mother. I didn't trust the microwave. But I ran up to the kitchen to see if it had taken off by itself or done something peculiar. And he ran down to the garage and found the whole wall of the garage on the wall was on fire. And here the worst part of it was that the garage door, we had an electric opener. I guess when the heat got so intense, something triggered it and it went open, which made it more intense, and then it fanned the flames. In the meantime, he comes up here and calls the fire department, and he says to me, get out. And I was standing in my robe and bathrobe and slippers, and I grabbed one pair of pants and ran out without even a purse.
Nothing of your art.
Nothing. Listen, he wouldn't even let me grab my coat. You know, I was standing out in snowing 29th of January with nothing on, and it was about 10 below zero, I think. It was horrible. But anyway, and he went out in his pajamas and robe, and there we were. People in the neighborhood brought us in, took us, gave us something to put on and things like that. It was crazy.
How much of the house was involved?
Well, the whole back of the house here, because it went from the kitchen up through here, but they broke through the glass there to get the smoke out of the house and to stop the fire. So they crashed through there, and then the garage, from the garage through the kitchen, it was just, the holes were, it would just burn straight through. And so the whole lower living room, which was that there was art all over down there, and art in the laundry room, and art everywhere. Plus there was a show packed up in the garage ready to go to New York. I was having a show in March. Fortunately, we had taken half the show down in January before the fire. I had just returned from New York, and we were going to make two loads. We were originally going to take a truck, but Irv decided he didn't like being a truck driver anymore, which was too bad, and because then we would have had all the sculptures out of the garage. But what was still there got burned up. And as I saw it all going up in smoke, which made it much worse, because all that, all those acrylics burning weren't too great. And the firemen were, gave a lot of, even worse noxious fumes and everything. Well, it went after the fire, all these plants, of course these are all new, and even the planter box was wrecked. That's a metal planter box. But everything here was as black as the ace of spades. See how black the fireplace is? That's what it all looked like. Everything. The carpet, it was just, what wasn't ruined by You know, like where they had, I had these plexiglass cubes where I had sculptures inside, that's why I used bases for my, and I had, where you'd pick it up, and I had just done a really great Art Deco rug that I had bought one, this one was a bottom, where the thing was, you could see, you know, it had kept the, and all around it was black.
Black.
It was horrible. But anyway, that was what the fire did. And most of it was, in here was all smoke damage, the rest of the house and all the papers, you should see my files. I couldn't throw them away, so I still have them with the burned stuff on them because it'll take me till I'm dead and gone. Somebody else would have to be doing it. I refuse to worry about the paperwork anymore. So I took them, left them, keep them, and then I brought them back and used them smelly and all. But unfortunately, they eventually, the paper, you know, as I can, I throw it out. Yeah. But, you know, it was just crazy. I mean, there was, and photographs, drawings, slides. I mean, I have files. I'll check you and show you the files that I have that are nothing but slide files and photograph files. So that was it. But I had, the other problem was that my mother's sister, who lived in Greenville, Mississippi still, had just died in the summer before the fire. She died in the end of July, I guess. She died in August, but mother's sister did not have any children, and I was like her child. So I was running, even before mother died, I was running back and forth to Greenville to take care of her because she had no one else but me. And, she didn't have children, and I was just like her child. Well, after she died, I brought all these things up here, all these antiques that were my grandmother's and my mother's, my aunt. They all came up here, a whole big household full of stuff that I had to unload into here and into my studio.
Right before the fire.
This was in October. We brought it all up and left it either in the garage. Fortunately, I'd taken a few things to Jamie in New York, but all of Terry's inheritance went up in the fire. I had his there waiting to take it in a truck.
So actually this figure is all that's left of those things.
Yeah. For example, that clock was mother's. That clock had just, this friend of mine who's so desperately ill right now, is so marvelous with things like that. And he, because that clock had needed, for years had needed to be cleaned up and fixed and whatever, he took it apart and put it all back together again. And it was just looking magnificent. All the pieces I took out and had them, the brass polish of it. Brought it all back, had it in, it was all there then. It was, he had to, after the fire, he had to take the whole clock apart, but he took it home with him and started working on it. But that's the kind of stupid things that can happen.
All right, we have to stop right.